the executive director of the Illinois Municipal League, Carbondale, the former mayor, Brad Cole, former city councilman. I could probably go on, too, but, you know, we'd eat up all the time from the interview. How you doing, Brad?
I'm doing great. Good to talk to you this morning, Tom.
You know, Wednesday, your friend and mine, Mayor Bob Butler's last day at work.
Yeah, great guy, and going to be wrapping up 55 years in office as mayor. And, you know, one of the first things I did when I got elected Mayor Carbondale was called over to him. We had a relationship previously, but we got together, met, had breakfast, and talked about how the two communities could work better together and support the region. And I know we did that while I was there, and he was just he's a great friend. And whether you like all the things he's done or don't like all the things he's done, he's committed his life to Marion and Southern Illinois, and for that, he deserves a lot of credit and recognition.
He has. He's committed his entire life to it, you know.
Yeah.
And when
he's done a good job.
And when you read the bio, you know, and you realize when he was running, he was one of the youngest candidates out of a rather large field. Of course, he'd had some other experiences there, but, you know, and then has been there ever since. And as I remarked, and in today's political climate, getting 71% of the vote, not bad.
Not bad. And, of course, always putting the community first and always caring about people. And like I said, you know, anybody in elected office is going to have their detractors. But on the whole, I think the community should be very proud of his service, and I know he is, and he's always tried to represent the area well, and I think he's done a good job. And, you know, the community's going to miss him. They got a lot of great leaders there in the community, so I'm sure someone will step up and be elected in the next election. But it's going to be a big change for that community, that's for sure.
The Illinois Municipal League, Brad is the executive director. How did being mayor of Carbondale prepare you to do this job?
You know, we spent so much time in Carbondale trying to work with other communities, just like with Mayor Butler, and trying to be a regional hub, bring people together, always brought all the mayors from throughout Jackson County together at least once or twice a year, talk about things. And that's what the Municipal League does. We have 1,298 municipalities, cities and villages all throughout Illinois that we represent. And the biggest thing that we do is bring them together, understand what their issues are, advocate for them, educate them, help empower them so that they can do more on their own, serve their constituents. And, you know, interestingly, last week or whenever it was, 2 weeks ago, when the federal government was shut down, City Hall was open for business, and services that people need were being provided by their local government. City Hall was open. They were taking care of people. These shenanigans that kind of happen at the state and national levels, they don't get to take place at the local level, and the Municipal League supports the communities in trying to get that work done every day.
And this advocating for municipalities with this salt tax, and I mean, that's if I look at it as being, you know, I'm a municipality and I look at, you know, adding insult to injury, I would go to salt tax. You know, the years without the budget, the confusion that went on, the effect on school programs. But, you know, the fact that the state is going to balance the budget by not giving taxes to the local level, I would think when it comes to advocacy that that's been something that you've been talking about a lot with other people.
Oh, absolutely. And it's every day that's what we talk about, whether it's the state and local tax deduction or it's the reduction in local government share of income tax or a preemption that both the federal and state governments are doing on an everyday basis against local governments. You know, local government is most responsive to its residents because that's who you see every day. You see your mayor, you see your alderman or city council member. You don't see your congressman or the president every day, so you don't have that much of an impact. But local government, you do. And the preemption that happens at the state and federal levels, pushing stuff down, unfunded mandates, or taking away local authority is really what's hurting communities and results in all sorts of different things. So when you talk about taxes having to be increased, it's usually because the state or federal governments have put more of a mandate on local governments. There's only one person that can pay for all those bills, and that's the taxpayer.
And here's the thing. You looked at the collective evidence. I read this article this past weekend about the revenues from Carbondale in sales dropping, the money not coming back, the concerns about SIU enrollment. You read that article with Gary?
That. Yes, I did. In the Southern, yeah,
right?
I saw that.
And when I read this, you know, and then looking, you know, at the fact that I've been talking to a lot of state and government officials and candidates, the very clear thing is it's not going to end.
Oh, no. In fact, you know, I wish that I had any one of the dozens, if not hundreds, of interviews that you and I did over the last 15 years, because we could go back and play any of them and talk about this issue, because you were ahead of your time, and we were talking about these things in 2003 and 2004, 5, 6, 7, 8, all throughout those years about how this is coming home to roost, and the communities had to take steps to be prepared. There's a lot of things that, you know, are not going to end, and if they do, they're not going to end well for communities, especially communities in southern Illinois, small rural areas, but across the state.
Well, you know, when you look to listen to some of the candidates, I mean, you hear progressive tax. I know Terry Bryant sent out a press release on her idea to try to stop a 1.2 or 1.5 cents per gallon, per mile tax on vehicles. I mean, there's it appears as cutting. It didn't work, so we're just going to get more from a state that has already driven its people away in record numbers out of the state from taxes, and say, "Yeah, we need more taxes."
Exactly. And that the vehicle mileage tax, which you mentioned, you know, there is some, I guess, reason to have discussion about a gas tax, because now hopefully we're having more of these electric vehicles. The problem isn't necessarily how much we're generating, although that is a problem. It's where, how much we're spending. And when you combine those two different factors, the revenues and the expenses, they don't align. You factor in the number of residents that are leaving the state of Illinois, moving to other states, and taking their tax dollars with them. You look at the decline at any of the public universities in Illinois, Eastern, Western, Southern, and you see how that economic engine has been impacted. All of these negative factors that are influencing the economy, the loss of jobs, lack of new jobs, that's what's going to impact these communities. Can't tax their way out of some of these problems. They're going to have to make cuts. I tell you what, one other thing, you know, with these population declines, and I've been saying this for the last 10 years, the next census is going to have a real negative impact on communities, because some communities, Carbondale in particular, may see their home rule status go away because their population is underneath the threshold, but we're probably going to lose one, if not two, members of Congress from Illinois in our delegation. We used to have 25 members of Congress. We only have 18 now. We're going to be down to 16 or 17. How does that really impact the role that Illinois plays nationally? Are we going to see more dollars come back? I doubt it. So all these things are tied together, Tom.
Yeah, and it's weird. You know, on Sundays, I have to start homework a little earlier, about 3 in the afternoon. So when I start and I finish with homework, usually around 6.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was running down my local list and things that I want to make sure get on the air, and when I finished yesterday, I get disheartened, and I looked over at Kate, and I said, you know, we live in a failed state. You agree with that?
We've got some challenges, that's for sure. We have serious challenges. You know, Illinois, I believe in Illinois, and I believe in the people in Illinois. We have so many natural resources and so many human resources and so much intellectual capital and financial capital. We just have not been utilizing it the way we should. And for whatever reason, politics or industry or whatever the issues are, we can do a better job of it. And I think, you know, unfortunately, we have not done a good job of it for the last many years.
Right.
And I'm not blaming that on any one person or any one entity, but I'm just saying that collectively, we do have so many great things going for us, so many great employers and so many great resources, but we're just not capitalizing on them. And other places are. And so what's resulted? Illinois is now the 6th largest state instead of the 5th largest state. You know, and we lose people and we lose all this traction and momentum. I think we can make it up, but boy, we sure got to start today, if not about 10 years ago.
Yeah, well, you know, that $1 billion in late payments alone just stuck in my craw and didn't and hasn't left since. And then we find out we got a $1.2 million program for opioid helpline. And what do? We spend that in another state.
Yeah.
I mean, we just literally walk around. We're like gunslingers with 2 6-guns on each hip, and every time we take a step, we pull it out and shoot ourselves in the foot. And we just continue to do this, you know, and it is kind of disheartening. As you can tell, every once in a while, I have a little problem with my my optimism to begin with. You know, now here's another interesting item, and it's weird because I've got this under the heading of what did you do to tick people off? Because beginning in December, I started watching network stories talking about the Municipal League and people like from Carbondale who were going and they changed their mind. And, you know, what I called and followed up, and I spoke with the people and questioned the story. And they're going, I don't know where that came from. That money was all returned. We didn't go. Those travel expenses were reimbursed. But it was like a it seemed to me like a hack job.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody wants their doctor and their lawyer and their pilot, their plumber, their electrician. They all want them to be trained up and to know what the newest techniques are and the latest technologies and to be advanced in their training and education. But there are some people that don't want their local elected officials to be those same, to have those same opportunities. And so, you know, the Municipal League, we sponsor a conference every year, and it's in Chicago. That adds a little bit of cost for folks from downstate. But we give everybody breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and some people decide to go out after the conference, aside from the program, and have an expensive dinner or something. That's not anything we can control, but there have been a few people, and some of them have been on your show, talking about we need to cut these the use of taxpayer dollars for education and training. But, you know, the reality is that if some of those bills pass, then city engineers and city planners and city clerks and treasurers and liquor commissioners and health inspectors and building inspectors, they won't get trained and they won't know what they're supposed to know, so it's really a detriment to the taxpayer. Now, can local elected officials do a better job of making sure they're being mindful of how they're spending the dollars when they're stepping away from these conferences, when they're not within the conference schedule? Absolutely. But, yeah, it's unfortunate. It's easy to attack some of these things when people don't really understand all the details, or they're just looking at the headline, if you will.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, there's valet parking. Somebody says, that's ridiculous, right. And that was $52. And then, but, you know, point blank, when speaking with State Representative David McSweeney last Thursday or Wednesday, I believe it was, I think it was Wednesday, matter of fact, that he started talking about, you know, seafood towers and things along this line.
Not a reality. That's just not factual. So, you know, we have a box lunch. We have a Danish and coffee for breakfast. Those things are what people may purchase outside of these conferences, not a part of the conference. And that's where you get kind of caught up in the negative attacks, is that, hey, what can we do when somebody wants to leave the conference and go do something that's not a part of the program? And, oh, by the way, this is the same issue that faces the school boards and school administrators and the park districts and all of the other associations that have to train their members, most of which the training is because the state passes laws that say we're mandated to do it. And so it's this circular motion where the state says you have to have training and you have to do this and that every year on these deadlines, and then you go do it, and somebody complains that somebody went out afterwards and had dinner.
All right. Well, you know, in particular, there's one story about, you know, the city of Springfield sending three people to this conference. $2,700 was the cost, and I believe you told me that the cost for the conference is $310 per attendee for 3 days. And,
right.
You know, this is one of the areas where they say it's ripe for abuse, I think was the term they used.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I guess there is a limit to your control when it gets to this item. We're getting ready to run out of time, and I hate doing that, but it often happens whenever I speak with you. You know, there's a problem that I have. And after being a lifelong resident, I'm very much in the bottle about my own area, and I try to look outside the bottle, look at the label as often as possible. But let me give you an example. Caro, Illinois. I know it's miserable. I've been there. I've gone down and I spoke to the people down at the barbecue place, talked to them a little bit. You know, went down and, you know, sat down and had barbecue and talked to whoever walked in the door. And I knew it was bad. Everybody did. And one time you and I were on the air and saying, you said, look, and here we are, with the only confluence of two major rivers where there's not a major economic hub. Well, 10 years later, apparently people have heard that and they're going, oh, wow, it is bad. We all knew it was bad, how they suddenly the scales have fallen from their eyes and the blinders have fallen away. This is going to be one of the biggest items for the upcoming election. It's going to, the, Carol, is going to be, a matter of fact, Kwame Raoul is down there today, the AG candidate.
Oh, yeah. Carol, you know, and of course, when I was the chairman of the Lower Mississippi Delta Development Center Board and have started with, you know, on the original board for the Delta Regional Authority and have worked down in Caro and that whole Mississippi Delta River region for the last 20 years, you know, that confluence is, as I said, 10 or 15 years ago, it's the only place where those where there are two major rivers come together, but there isn't large economic activity. And then you see all this stuff going on in that community. I mean, they have a real task ahead of them. Mayor Coleman is doing a good job, but boy, he's working with Band-Aids and duct tape. They're trying to keep the pumps running just to keep the streets dry. Lots of issues down there, and I'm glad to see the attention on it. You know, Molly Parker deserves a lot of credit for the attention that she's brought to the housing authority issues, and maybe that will bring some more attention to the economic possibilities that can be brought to that community. I'm glad the state legislators are getting into it, too. But, yeah, that community is right down the street from us,
right.
And not a lot happening there.
You know, and it's not a lot's been happening for a long time. I mean, I was with a man that I know in Marion, and this has been a number of years back, who was a former Caro resident and owned homes and rented them out in Caro, and he felt that he was welcome in his hometown anymore. He literally picked up and left. Yeah. And he was not the only one, right? And then came to Marion and opened
a
business.
I think you've seen that over the last 30 or 40 years. I mean, the decline in that community, their population has probably decreased in half every census for the last 50 years, and you just can't sustain that.
Yeah, and you can't help but wonder if Caro, in some fashion, is a microcosm of the state of Illinois.
I think it's definitely a model to look at, and I wouldn't say it's a best practice model.
Right.
It's a model with alarm bells ringing that if it can happen there, it can happen anywhere, and in fact, it is happening throughout Illinois.
We are going to see what will be probably the most expensive gubernatorial race in U.S. history coming this year. I don't think I'm too. I don't think I'm a prophet for saying that either.
I think you're right there. It's going to be a lot of money spent on this. How much good is done by that? I don't know.
But there'll be. It's going to be. Well, you've got J.B. Pritzker going really almost like he's running against Donald Trump while he's running against Rauner, even though he hasn't gone through the primary. And then you've got Rauner and his paid announcements going after Pritzker like he has already won the primary. There's a Democratic forum for the gubernatorial candidates coming up at SIU. My understanding, tickets are already sold out. But, you know, this is going to be vicious, and I don't know that how clear the lines are right now because everybody's so disenfranchised. You come to the point where you don't like the Democrats, you don't like the Republicans, and then you got that subtext is, I don't like any of you.
Well, yeah, and, you know, we get to the point where you're not voting for someone, you're voting against someone, and what is it that we're getting out of that? And that's where you get back to, these are some very serious times, and we have some serious issues that need to be addressed. The reason I think people are getting frustrated is because we're in a constant election cycle. There's never a day when we're not in the next election cycle. And we have some governing that really has to happen here in the immediate term. And that's why I like working with mayors and city council members, because City Hall is open for business every day. And you have mayors from the top to the bottom and east to west of Illinois that are trying to do good things. At the state and national levels, we get tied down in these political arguments and this divisive attitude and the predominant continual election cycle, and it's really frustrating. That's why people, I think, have kind of washed their hands of government, and they've cast everybody aside.
Hey, I really do appreciate your time. I know you're a busy guy. You got any tea leaves in your coffee cup this morning you'd like to share with us for the upcoming election?
Well, of course, we're going to hear the State of the Union by the President tomorrow night. The State of the State Address is Wednesday by the Governor. Hopefully they'll both lay out some things that are good for Illinois and good for communities across Illinois. I do want to give a quick plug. You know, this is Illinois' bicentennial. I'm proud to be on the Illinois Bicentennial Commission. We have Randy Dunn from SIU as the co-chair. Harry Crisp from Pepsi Mid-America is a member of that commission, too. So good representation from Southern Illinois. this is our 200th birthday. A lot of great things to be proud of. I'd love to come back sometime and talk about all the good things that we're going to do with the bicentennial this year and focus on something positive and look forward to the next 200 years, hopefully.
Good. Yeah. Sounds like a great idea. Consider that a done deal. Do you know today's the anniversary of Blagojevich being removed from office, 2009?
And I know where I was. I was mayor. I was at a National League of Cities meeting, and we were talking about city policy across the country, and that came on the news, and everybody looked at me, and I was just like, oh, boy.
Yeah. There's the guy from Illinois. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
And you'll remember, I said this on a competing radio station, and I never got invited back to the public radio station when I said this. I said, Rod Blagojevich will go down as the worst governor in the history of time. I said that in his first year in office. They never invited me back to another radio show, which was fine.
Right.
But I think that might have come true.
Yeah, and matter of fact, you said it on this program, and we talked lots after that, because if I started shutting down for everything that somebody said that I disagreed with, I'd be running out of guests pretty quick.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
Brad Cole.
Great to talk to you, Tom.
As always, the executive director of the Illinois Municipal League, Brad Cole. As always, it's a privilege.